I'm here on the job site with Dale, who's a framing contractor.
Hey, good morning.
Dale traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for all his business vehicles. We're here where he needs us most.
Yep, they sure are.
We make it easy for him to save on all his insurance needs, all in one place, with coverage that fits his business and bottom line. Oh, I shouldn't have looked down.
It's all right.
We're so far up here.
Look at me. Take a deep breath.
No, I'm good. So good.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at Geico.com and see how much you could save. Get more with Geico.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at Rubrik.com. That's Rubrik.com.
0141-951-1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard. The fixtures for the new season have been revealed, with Celtic hosting St Mirren on Flag Day. Russell Martin's first Premiership match will be away to Motherwell as he opens up on new signings and John Souter's injury status. The other opening weekend matches are Kilmarnock against Livingston, Falkirk Dundee United, Dundee take on Hibs, and it's Hearts Aberdeen. I'm Andrew McLean. Joining me in the studio tonight is Hugh Keevans.
On the day that the fixtures are released, Andrew, it always begins that period of grace where you can say, we will win the league by 20 points. Oh, no, you won't. We'll win the league by 20 points because there are no games being played. So tonight, you can say what you like. Come on down.
Yeah, always interesting when the fixtures come out, but it comes with a lot of things as well, because a lot of managers from clubs have been speaking today and different faces from Scottish football have been talking. We've heard from Russell Martin, who is talking about incomings and potential signings for Rangers. He's also been speaking about John Souter and his injury situation, which I'm sure Rangers fans will be interested in. Charlie Mulgrew has been speaking, saying that Brendan Rodgers' priority should be a centre-back in the transfer window. As we heard on the news just there, Lee Miller has been speaking about his son Lennon and his future and what he could be potentially doing in the next couple of months. Derek McInnes as well has been speaking about the future of Lawrence Shanklin. So what's happening?
Yeah, and recruitment, Andrew, I think is the key word. I look at Celtic's first two matches at home to St Mirren, which was their last league game of last season, on a day when St Mirren were definitely the better of the two teams until James Forrest got a last gasp equaliser. And then Celtic go to Pittodrie, having lost the Scottish Cup final to Aberdeen, a game which I think exposed deficiencies in the Celtic squad. They finished the match with Yang and Johnny Kenny up front. You've got to have more than that at your disposal. And of course, for Russell Martin, so many have gone out at Ibrox and so many need to come in. And he also has the added complication, which Brendan Rodgers does not have. Prior to the domestic season beginning, he's got an absolutely crucial Champions League qualifier to play, and Rangers are well short of players.
Well, let's hear from you. 0141-951-1025, whether it is the fixtures that you're interested in, whether you're a Rangers fan that's been hearing what Russell Martin has to say after speaking today once those fixtures came out. What about Charlie Mulgrew saying that Brendan Rodgers' priority should be at centre-back? Maybe you're a Motherwell fan with a keen eye on Lennon Miller's situation. Maybe you're a Hearts fan with a keen eye on the Lawrence Shanklin situation. 0141-951-1025. And if that's not enough incentive to phone in, as we have been all week, we will be giving you the chance. If you phone in, you get on air and you make a point to win a pair of club badges for Ayr Racecourse's Summer Race Day tomorrow. And since it's Friday, we'll throw in a little treat as well, shall we? Because it'll come with a sparkling seafood package. That includes a luxurious sharing platter of premium seafood, a bottle of Prosecco, house champagne or Moët to share as well. There are seven races. JLS's Marvin Humes will be on the decks as well. And if you don't win the tickets, you can still head along by checking out air-racecourse.co.uk. Let's go straight to the phones, shall we, after we have a look at the opening weekend fixtures. They're always the first ones, I think, apart from, is it the derbies or the opening weekend fixtures? I'm not quite sure whether that's where the eyes are drawn, Hugh.
In this part of the world, straight to the first derby, August 31, Ibrox, Rangers versus Celtic. That's all that anyone cares about.
Yeah, the opening weekend fixtures are an interesting configuration of them, I'll say, in terms of times and dates, which I'm sure we'll get onto shortly. But Celtic Flag Day, that is the Sunday. They are at home to St Mirren at 4:30. There is Motherwell against Rangers, which is Russell Martin's first match in charge. Kilmarnock and Livingston take each other on at Rugby Park. Falkirk, newly promoted Falkirk, up against Dundee United. Dundee take on Hibs, and it's Hearts Aberdeen. Let's speak to Ross, who's a Celtic fan in Pollock. Ross, how are you?
Hey, Andrew, Hugh. Hope you guys are doing all right.
You too.
Thank you.
Yeah, no, listen, I just want to make a point tonight about the fixtures. Again, I don't know the reasons behind it, but it's a bit frustrating from a Celtic fan's point of view that we are the champions, and yet here we are. We are playing at 4:30 on a Sunday. Why we're not kicking off the new season is beyond me. And again, it just baffles me that the way these fixtures get drawn out. Now, I know there'll be certain things that the SFA need to take into consideration when doing these sort of things, but I just think, why not have us even on Saturday at 12:30, kicking off the new season? And I just think 4:30 on a Sunday absolutely suits nobody.
I have to agree with you, Ross, 100%. I think that Celtic, as the champions, should be given precedence over the rest, and should have a 3:00 Saturday afternoon kickoff with all of the pre-match celebrations which they have earned in the season gone by. It does seem to me, like you, Ross, to be a peculiarity that they're there Sunday, 4:30. But I think if you're a Celtic fan, okay, it's slightly inconvenient, but having won 13 of the last 14 titles, you go along whenever it takes place and you recognise the scale of that achievement on the part of Brendan Rodgers, Ange Postecoglou and other managers.
Is it just more to do with the supporters and how it affects them, Ross, wanting to have it at a more traditional time?
Yeah, I think obviously, as I say, like, we've earned the right to be the champions, and I think, as I say, I think it would be nice for the SFA to recognise that and obviously come out and give us, as I say, even if it is an opening fixture at 12:30 on a Saturday or 3:00. But I just think the fact that there's teams like Livingston and Rangers and Motherwell that are playing well before we, so I think we're technically the last team to play.
Look at
there's one more fixture after that. Hearts Aberdeen are on the Monday night, but I'm about to take your point, Ross. Yeah,
but look at it this way, Ross. Rangers go to Motherwell, Russell Martin's first competitive match of a domestic nature. So right away the fun begins. The pressure's on Russell Martin to get the win at Motherwell, because if he doesn't, then Celtic Park is alive 24 hours later. And if he does get the result at Fir Park, then Celtic Park is a very determined place 24 hours later, because the scrutiny of the team that Celtic begin the season with begins there and then. You know, I do understand it's easy for me. I'll be sitting in a studio. But I do understand that it's a complicated business the first weekend. However, it begins the fun.
It obviously comes down to broadcasting rights, and Sky Sports pay the money to get the broadcasting rights, and they've decided for whatever reason that they feel that that is the best time for the game, whether you know, that's scheduling clashes with other games, whether it's games down south, that they feel that that's the time where you'd imagine they feel they'll get the most viewers. Yeah. But you can understand fans' frustration that, you know, they feel, if they feel it doesn't suit them, that, you know, they won't be too happy about it.
On the one hand, the fans are powerless, and just to correct Ross slightly, it's not an SFA matter, it's SPFL matter. They're powerless as well, because Sky Television write the checks. End of story.
Ross, how are you feeling at the moment just about what's going on at Celtic? It's maybe been a quieter start to the transfer window. Kieran Tierney, the only confirmed player in, but are you feeling confident that some business will get done over the next couple of weeks?
Yeah, again, as I say, I don't think Celtic need to go scattergun and go and sign 5, 6, 7, 8 players. I think we're in a position where we can actually just dip in and out of different markets. And I think, as I say, even if it was a case where we only bring in maybe 2 or 3 this window, I don't think the squad needs an injection of players. I think we just need to strengthen up in maybe 1 or 2 areas. But I think the left-back situation is obviously one where I still don't even know if is Greg Taylor staying on, or I don't know what's happening in the Taylor situation. And I think obviously I know centre midfield, we're talking about Lennon Miller was getting mentioned, but for me, I think a striker is one that I think Celtic need to kind of prioritise this window. So as long as we get a striker and if Taylor leaves another left-back, I would be more than happy with that. Andrew, as I said, I don't think we need to go crazy and go and sign five or six players.
I think Charlie McGrew got it half right. They do need a central defender, Celtic. Other than Cameron Carter-Vickers, there's no one else who's trustworthy. Not Aaron Austin trusty, not Liam Scales. Mike Nawrocki could be back in Poland by then. So Celtic need someone beside Carter Vickers who is trustworthy. But also, understand that Daizen Maeda is the best through the middle that Celtic have. For me, Adam Ida is way short of what's required by Celtic. I think they have to be looking at somebody in case anything should happen to Daizen Maeda.
So what happens in that regard? Because Adam Ida's come in, a £9 million signing, did score goals last season. Yep. Maybe some people didn't think he performed to the value of what his transfer fee was. But are Celtic going to bring in someone that sits ahead of Adam Ida in the pecking order, and Celtic will have a £9 million signing as their third choice striker?
Well, I think they should.
Is that realistic, though? Can you see Celtic actually doing that?
Well, you know, Celtic then could get caught. Ida himself was an example of what happens in the transfer window. Celtic dillied and dallied over Adam Ida and eventually ended up paying way, way over the odds for him. But they have to be careful. As I say, they finished the cup final with Yang and Johnny Kenny up front. Now, that for me highlights a lack of choice in that particular department.
You said about a striker, Ross. How do you see that sort of configuration working in the front line? Is Daizen Maeda the number one striker? If another striker comes in, where are they in the pecking order when it comes to, you know, Adam Ida, who, you know, has had his critics but still scored 20 goals last season? You've then got Johnny Kenny, young Callum Osmond coming in from Fulham as well.
See, I think for me, I think he's still a threat out in the left. And I think for me, just what you said, I totally agree with you. I think another striker would come in. Me personally, I don't have any call. If we were to say Adam Ida tomorrow, right, Adam, next season they want you to score the same amount of goals as Maeda scored this year, I don't think Adam Ida could do that. I think he's the sort of guy to come in and get you a goal now and again. I don't think he's the sort of guy to go and get you 20, 25 goals a season. And I think that's where we need to go.
But he did score 20 goals last season, Ross.
Well, but I don't think he would do that season after season, though. I don't think he's that sort of player. I think he's the sort of guy that would get a goal now and again. I don't think if you said to Adam Ida, get me a goal every week, I don't think he would do that.
I don't think the majority of the Celtic supporters would stand for Adam Ida being your first choice. There's also an unfair degree of pressure on Daizen Maeda, because how do we know that he can replicate last season in the season to come? And I think Celtic have to be looking at that particular area and at centre-back as a matter of, I wouldn't say urgency, but as a know your priorities.
Well, let's hear a bit from Charlie McGrew, shall we, who's been talking about transfers. He believes the club should strengthen in the back line and should accept any decent offer for Nicholas Kuhn.
I think another centre-back is probably one of the main things they'll be looking at, one of the main areas they'll be looking at. But I think that's an important thing. You always, even when you're strong, if you're a position of strength, you need to continue to improve. And I'm sure that he'll be open to all kind of all positions to keep everybody on their toes. Nicholas Kuhn, I don't know so much. I think he had a great campaign at the start of the year and kind of tailed off a wee bit. My opinion is Celtic could probably replace him.
Well, thank you to Ross, 0141 951 1025. Richard is a Celtic fan in Livingston. Richard, what are you thinking tonight?
Yeah, I'm not really too bothered about what goes on in the summer. I think the squad we had last year would still win the league this year. There's a couple of things we need to tweak, but in general, I'm just not, I don't know, just not bothered. It needs to be refreshed a little bit.
You feel there doesn't need to be too many changes this summer then? The squad's pretty much good to go?
I don't think so. I think if some players want to go, and it's up to them if they want to go, then you replace them. thought.
Well, not being too bothered is a dangerous attitude of mind for me. You know, you stand still in football, you go backwards. Jota, sadly for him, is unlikely to play again in 2025. Nicholas Kuhn, if the story is correct that Celtic could get offered £15 million for him, then Celtic would, as a business decision, have to sell Nicholas Kuhn. But he is in the uncertain category at the moment. Jota isn't. He's sadly out. Yang, for me, would not be a first pick for Celtic. Benjamin Nygren, I think, will come in. The Swede. But I think Richard sounds on the complacent side. I'm not bothered. Everything's okay. If you take that attitude in mind that there's a Champions League qualifier to be played, there is definitely room for a centre-back, definitely room for another striker to come in. So, as I say, the cup final, Celtic were dreadful in the cup final. And it highlighted the lack of depth that can occur, because if you finish with Yang and Johnny Kenny, there's a lack of depth, and they have to address that.
If you're not too bothered about the summer business, Richard, what is it that you're looking forward to this season when it comes to Celtic?
Just winning again. Just everyone thinks that we don't, I don't know, we don't like winning, but I love it.
Well, no one's suggesting that anyone at Celtic Park doesn't like winning. They've won 13 of the last 14 titles.
Come on. You know what everyone said.
Beg your pardon?
You know what everyone said.
What?
Well, everyone else has said that they're bored of winning and...
No. Someone suggested that Celtic winning the league every year was, I can't remember the word you used, but was...
Tedious,
that was the correct word.
That's the word, but as a Celtic supporter, I love it.
Yeah, but it wasn't a Celtic supporter who said it. It was a journalist who wrote that it was tedious. So, of course it's not tedious winning 13 titles out of 14. But the minute you stop and say, everything's okay, we don't need to bother, then you run the risk.
Well, thank you to Richard, 01419511025, to get involved. Rangers fans, we're going to hear a bit from Russell Martin after the next break, so I want to get your thoughts on that. 01419511025. Remember, you could be in with a chance of winning a pair of club badges to Ayr Racecourse's Summer Race Day, which is tomorrow. There'll be a few goodies thrown in with that as well. If you phone in, you get on air and you make a point. But first of all, we're going to play this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Gordon DL came back from his holidays yesterday and unsurprisingly Beat the Pundit turned into chaos once again, but I think it worked out quite well for us because he snatched defeat from the jaws of victory quite sensationally. So what can you do against Hugh Keevans tonight? Phone 0141 951 1025 now and you could be in with your chance to play Hugh at Beat the Pundit.
I'm here on a job site with Tim, who owns his own electrical contracting business.
3 employees and 2 work trucks.
Tim traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance. We're positively here where he needs us most.
They sure are.
With step-by-step help on all his insurance needs. All for shockingly low rates.
Shockingly low, huh?
Just a little bit of electrician humour. Do you get it?
I got it.
You know, it feels like we have a real connection. All right, I'll stop.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. Get more with Geico.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's RUBRIK.com.
0141-951-1025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Hugh Keevans here with me, Andrew McLean, on tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard on another busy day of Scottish football. The fixtures have been revealed, which a lot of people enjoy. We've been hearing from quite a few managers. We'll be hearing from some throughout the show. Rangers fans want to hear your thoughts on what Russell Martin had today, speaking about signings ahead of the Panathinaikos doubleheader, speaking about John Souter's injury situation. We are going to hear a bit maybe from Derek McInnes, speaking about Lauren Shankland's situation. Lee Miller has been speaking about Lennon Miller's future. So lots to get our teeth into. 01419511025, but we're going to play this first.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
You know, every single pundit has a 100% record in the summer league that we're doing at the moment, apart from Gordon DL and Hugh Keevans.
And what's your record then?
You have a 50% win rate. You've won one and lost one. Daz has won one and lost three. So he is rock bottom by quite a distance. So you have a chance to get up there. But Marvin, Ross, Scott, Roger on -2, Jim and Simon are all on 100% records. Not quite sure what's going on. I don't know whether the questions have got easier or maybe people are taking it a bit more seriously. But it's going well for the pundits.
Dazzler and me have got bus passes, so maybe that explains it.
Yeah, are the questions a bit too modern? Is that what it is?
Yeah.
You'd like some old school questions?
We're opposed to modernity.
Right, we'll see. We'll see if they will. Well, I tell you what, we were going to speak to Joe on the line, but he's disappeared. I don't know whether he's got stage fright or whether the line has dropped. So we'll either try and get him back or we will get someone else on the line to replace him nice and quickly. But yeah, Marvin Bartley, 3 wins from 3. Ross McCormack, 3 wins from 3.
Yeah.
Scott Allen, 2 wins from 2. Right, I think we have a backup option.
Okay.
Alan in Kilmarnock has been quick to respond. Thank you, Alan. How are you?
Yeah, I'm good, good.
How are you feeling? Confident that you can beat Hugh Keevans?
I don't know. I'll shoot him.
Have you played before?
He's got the knowledge. Yes, I think the Dazzler beat me.
Oh, that's not good considering what we were just saying there about the win percentages. But you never know. You never know. You might be able to beat Hugh Keevans. We will put I've just had a message actually from one of my producers saying I need to ask you what your nickname is and why.
That's Fatal.
Fatal?
It's short for foul.
Let's not go any further.
Yeah, we'll leave that there, shall we?
Yeah, that's fine. I'm happy with that.
We'll put some greatest hits radio in the ear of Hugh Keevans so he can't hear us. You've played before, Fatal. Yep. But it's 30 seconds on the clock to answer as many questions as you can. Remember, you can pass as well if that's going to help you out. Is that all good?
All good.
Let's do it. How many boats are on the Morton badge?
4.
Who is the manager of Cove Rangers?
Paul Hawley.
New St Mirren signing Jaden Richardson also had a spell with which other top flight club?
Ross County.
Who was appointed assistant manager at Partick Thistle yesterday?
Alec Ray.
Who did Kilmarnock play in their first game of the new Premiership season?
Livingston.
Who lasted longer as Motherwell manager, Michael Vimmer or Stevie Hamill?
Stevie Hamill.
Which manager was appointed as Aberdeen's interim in February 2024?
Barry Robinson.
Okay, we can bring Hugh Keevans back in. Can you hear us, Hugh?
Okay.
30 seconds on the clock for Hugh Keevans. Let's go. How many boats are on the Morton badge?
1.
Who is the manager of Cove Rangers?
Paul Hartley.
New St Mirren signing Jaden Richardson also had a spell with which other top flight club?
Aberdeen.
Who was appointed assistant manager at Partick Thistle yesterday?
Alec Ray.
Who did Kilmarnock play in their first Premiership game of the new season? Who lasted longer as Motherwell manager, Michael Vimmer or Stevie Hamill?
Vimmer.
Which manager was appointed as Aberdeen's interim in February 2024?
Neil Warnock.
Who is the all-time top Scottish scorer in Serie A?
It is McTominay.
Okay, we will bring Alan back in. Alan, how do you feel that went?
I think he was horsed me.
I think it was quite a good battle between the two of you. We'll see. I think it was closer than you think. How many boats are on the Morton badge? Alan said 4. Hugh said 1. It is just the 1 boat that is on the Morton badge. So it goes 1-0 to Hugh Keevans. Who is the manager of Cove Rangers? You both said Paul Hartley. You both got it correct. New St Mirren signing Jaden Richardson also had a spell with which other top flight club? Alan went for Ross County. Hugh went for Aberdeen. The answer is Aberdeen. 3-1 to Hugh Keevans, who was appointed assistant manager at Partick Thistle yesterday. You both said Alex Ray. You both got it correct. Did you get the call as well, Hugh?
About
about going in at Partick Thistle with Mark Wilson? Seems to be a bit of a super scoreboard reunion going on there.
There was a suggestion of going in as a physio, but I said no, I'd go in as chief exec or not at all.
Yeah, I just wonder, Gordon Dalziel's nose is out of joint, that he's not in there.
His nose is permanently out of joint.
That's a good point. Right, 4-2 after that. You both said Alex Ray. Who did Kilmarnock play in their first game of the 25-26 Scottish Premiership season? There was a wee laugh from Alan there, because he's a Kilmarnock fan. So We knew that straight away. It was Livingston, but Hugh Keevans got it as well. 5-3 to Hugh Keevans. Who lasted longer as Motherwell manager, Michael Vimmer or Stevie Hamill? It's a tough one. It's one of those 50-50 guesses, really. Hugh went for Michael Vimmer. Alan went for Stevie Hamill. Stevie Hamill was the correct answer. So it's 5-4, only one in it. Which manager was appointed as Aberdeen's interim manager in February 2024? It was a memorable one. It was Neil Warnock, and Hugh Keevans got it. Alan didn't, so it goes 6-4 to Hugh Keevans. And Hugh got one more question in. Who's the all-time top Scottish scorer in Serie A? It's not Scott McTominay.
Is it Dennis Law?
It's Lewis Ferguson.
Lewis
Ferguson.
Wow.
So it remains 6-4 to Hugh Keevans. It is a victory for Hugh, and he goes up to a 66% win rate. Are. So that is that you're really leaving Gordon Dalziel in the dust there. Unlucky, Alan. One thing I do want to ask you about, a new signing for Kilmarnock today, 6'7" striker. You looking forward to that?
Well, I can see him looking at my back door. Who's that, Bill?
I think it's just an intriguing one. I think Stuart Kettlewell bringing in a 6'7" striker from Morecambe, I think, in League 2.
Yeah, one goal in 7 years. That'll be good.
Yeah, his goal scoring record isn't... I think he played 39 games in League 2 last season. Only scored the one goal as a striker, but... is 6'7", could well offer some other things that aren't goals. It'd be an interesting prospect, certainly, to watch him, Hugh.
Well, you know, Stuart Kettlewell's job now to get the recruitment right. At 6'7", more suited to basketball than football. It depends how he uses those 6'7". But I think it's a tough start for Kilmarnock, because Livy, as I always say of Livy, and I mean no disrespect whatsoever, I mean it as a compliment, they're a pest. Home or away, they're a pest. And that they will provide a very tough start for Stuart Kettlewell.
Well, thank you to Alan in Kilmarnock, or Fatal, as he likes to be called. Unlucky on Beat the Pundit, though. Hugh Keevans gets the victory. Right, let's hear a bit from Russell Martin, shall we? Because he was speaking to Sky Sports after the fixtures were announced today. He said he's looking forward to the new season, but says Rangers have a lot of preparation work to do before it begins. He also expects a few new players to be in the door before they face Panathinaikos.
We've exchanged messages this morning, so knowing Jens and how intense he was about his work as a player and how he is as a person, seriously professional, intelligent, he'll have them very well organised and prepared. So we have to make sure that we are ready for any challenge. I mean that, whether it's the European game, Motherwell, the Old Firm games, any of them, we need to be ready, and we have a lot to do. We have to try and attack it and be the team that we want to be. So I think it'll be about us. We'll focus on us, make sure that we are improving day on day in pre-season to be ready to put in performances that we are proud of and we feel, and we will get better and better. But we have to make sure that early on we're ready to put in performances that look like us and enable us to win games. I honestly don't know, but I think we'll have a few before the European game, that'll be for sure. So everyone's working extremely hard. That's what the bulk of the work has been the last week or so, is really identifying character and talent that we want in the building that can add to this group and add to us as culturally and performance, of course. And I'm excited about the people that we are starting to look at, and hopefully we'll add.
Yeah, that first bit, he was talking about Jens Bertil Askew, who is the Motherwell manager who he played with at Norwich. But I think the latter part of that will be the one that Rangers fans will be more interested in, because maybe there were a few question marks about whether Rangers would get the bodies in before the Panathinaikos game, but Russell Martin saying there that he's confident they will do.
Russell Martin in himself is a fascinating story. A man whose last club were relegated, who arrived at Ibrox having underwhelmed the Rangers fans, who thought there ought to have been a bigger name. He's a fascinating story. He's got 1 month before he plays Panathinaikos at Ibrox, and an awful lot of work, physical and in terms of recruitment, has to be done before then. And he doesn't have an easy job in his hands. He's got to turn things around very, very quickly. So I think back to another Rangers manager who began his league season at Motherwell. His name was Paul Le Guin, and 30 games later he was out. Not suggesting for one moment that'll happen to Russell Martin, but he has to go to Motherwell on the first day, and he mustn't do a Michael Beale at Kilmarnock and lose right away in the opening day. So, as I say, in himself, Russell Martin is a fascinating story.
Well, let's hear a bit from Russell Martin speaking to Sky Sports on John Souter, because we had calls the last couple of nights because John Souter, he decided to go on international duty and play for Scotland instead of bringing forward an operation to the end of the season. There was then doubts about whether he would be ready to face Panathinaikos or not. He said, though, he expects John Souter to be fit for the game, and he also admires the defender's passion to play for his country.
It's really difficult. So John wants to play for his country, and I think so many players, especially at the end of the season, get lambasted for not going away or pulling out of the international games for whatever reason. So John made a decision that he had a bit of a minor injury. He wanted to go and play. He's desperate to play for his country, which I admire. So the plan was here, everyone was aware of it, to get sorted off that. So he's had a minor op, and we expect him to be fit for the Panathinaikos game, so it hasn't really affected the preparation. He's been able to go away and play and then be ready for us.
Yeah, that story has been lingering for the past couple of days. There were quite a few unhappy Rangers fans that we'd heard on the phones. They'll just be hoping that Russell Martin is correct and John Souter will be fit and ready for those games.
Russell Martin was never going to throw John Souter under the bus in his press conference today, but I do think this is an unnecessary controversy. I do not think that John Souter should have taken that decision on his own to say, no, I'll go and play for Scotland.
I think that the Rangers medical staff were part of it as well, but it had to be run by them.
But I think it takes advantage of the fact that Rangers did not have a permanent manager in-house. The CEO was not in-house at that particular time, or rather the director of football, I beg your pardon. The CEO was there and he might have intervened. I think it's unnecessary. I don't think John Souter should have gone there. He didn't take any part at all in the game against Liechtenstein. It's not as if he's unknown to Steve Clarke. I'm sure Steve Clarke didn't need the evidence of Iceland and Liechtenstein to tell him anything new about John Souter. So I think John Souter has brought negative publicity on his own shoulders that he, the player, could and should have avoided.
Well, some breaking news in the last 5 minutes. Sky Sports are saying that Rangers have agreed a deal with Bournemouth for Max Ahrens, that it will be a straight loan with no obligation for a permanent move. Maybe you've got some thoughts on that, Rangers fans. 01419511025. Let's speak to Robbie, who's a Celtic fan in Falkirk. Robbie, what are you thinking tonight?
Good evening, Andrew. Good evening, Hugh.
Hello.
I would just like to make the point about a comment that Hugh made, maybe about 2.5 months ago. It was definitely this year and before the end of the season. Now, what you made, Hugh, it blew my mind, the comment you made, because I'm totally in agreement with you. And it's actually out the box for what a journalist would normally say. You said, Hugh, that Daizen Maeda, Celtic cannot really sell him at any price. He's that rare a player. Mm-hmm. The way they press, just the way they play ever since Ange came in and has been followed on with Brendan Rodgers, the way he's improved Maeda further. You said something that no many journalists would say, and I applaud you that for Hugh. And the reason it kind of blew my mind is that was on my mind anyway before you actually say that Daizen Maeda, especially for that 20 to 25 million pound that your Kieran Tierneys, your Jotters and your Matt O'Reillys have been going for. Hugh, I agree with you. Celtic should get as much time as they can out of Daizen Maeda, whether that's another 4 years taking him up to 32, because you're going to get your money's worth, and he's that rare a player. There are three players in that team, in my opinion, who are absolutely crucial to the way Celtic play. Three: CCV, McGregor and Maeda. And obviously your main man out of these three, middle to front, speaks for itself. It's Maeda. Another thing that no many folks speak about, Hugh, and I just want to finish with this: he's hardly ever injured. For a guy that sprints the way he does, you'll mind you, 2023 away to Atletico Madrid, he got sent off for that challenge and he injured his cell. He was meant to be out for 2 months and he was back within 5 weeks and everybody was blown away. Hugh, I just want to just say to you, what you said, you're spot on. Celtic shouldn't sell him under any circumstances. You're
spot on, mate. I don't know whether this is my cynical mind, but when Robbie was phoning in to pick you up on something you said, I just assumed he was going to disagree with you, Hugh. But there you go, Robbie's phoned in to agree with you.
And I have also said tonight, and I mean it, that it's unfair on Dyson Maeda to assume that he will replicate last season and what he did, making him the player of the year, when the new season begins. However, Celtic have to take that chance because Kyogo has gone, not to come back. Adam Ida will not be the regular automatic first team pick. Dyson Maeda has to start, and Celtic have to trust in him being what he was this season, or the season just ended. And they need to bring in another one to lend a hand so that they have that dual purpose where Dyson Maeda is concerned. They can play him out wide or through the middle, but they need another player in there. He's been outstanding since he signed for Celtic, and Robbie makes the point that he's very, very rarely injured. And for me, there comes a time, and I know that Celtic do wonderfully well in transfer windows. They even get things like the kickback from Jeremy Frimpong joining Liverpool. If, and it's probably a big if, Matt O'Reilly goes to Napoli, there's a kickback there for Celtic as well. So they do wonderfully well, and they're clever in the transfer windows, and they have been for years, and they have made themselves a very successful club, and their business dealings cannot be criticised. However, there comes a point where you have to acknowledge that it's Celtic and the Celtic supporters who are important. They have a Champions League qualifier. They are going for the defence of their league title. They are going for title number 56, which would put them ahead of Rangers historically. And these things are very, very important to supporters of Rangers and Celtic. And for all of those reasons, for me, there comes that point where you say, he can go and he can go, but Maeda, he can't go.
Well, thank you to Robbie. 01419511025 if you want to get involved. There is still time, and after the break we will be rounding off the Super Scoreboard awards that we've been dishing out this week, and we'll take a look at some of the other topics from today as well.
Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Into the final part of tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard, and you can get involved. 01419511025. Whether it's one of the topics of the day that you want to get involved in, is the fixtures that have come out today. Maybe you're a Rangers fan that were listening to Russell Martin's comments today. We're going to maybe hear a bit from Dennett McInnes talking about Lawrence Shankland, Lee Miller talking about Lennon Miller. 01419511025. And remember, if you call in, you get on air, you make a point, you'll be in the draw to win a pair of club badges for Ayr Racecourse's Summer Race Day, which is tomorrow. So what a last minute plan that would be. And if that's not enough, we'll also throw in a sparkling seafood package as well. That includes luxurious sharing platter of premium seafood and a bottle of Prosecco, house champagne, or Moët to share. Is that, you already sold?
Come on now. That's enough.
Okay, there we go. Surely that's got to get you involved. 01419511025. And while you get your calls in, let's take a look at the Super Scoreboard Awards. We need to round this off, don't we? Because we've been doing it all week. I'm sure you've been listening in, Hugh. We've been hearing some of the best moments from the show over the last season. We're not bothered about Player of the Year or Manager of the Year, any of that nonsense. We've got our own awards that we've been doing.
It was a reminder for me of the extent to which I am surrounded by idiocy.
that is fair, and there's going to be more of that here as well when we look at the moment of the season nominations. We heard them last night. There was Andy Halliday for not celebrating after scoring against Rangers. He really got it tight for that, didn't he? In the studio and beyond as well. Gordon DL for ziplining across the Olympic Stadium in Munich, one of the highlights from our trip to the Euros last summer. Slightly more entertaining than some of the games, I think, but he did it. That was the main thing. Says he completely regrets it, didn't enjoy it in the slightest. Marvin Bartley, this was a recent one, trying square sausage for the first time, and hating it as well.
He's a food snob.
Blew my mind that he'd never tried it before after 10 years living in Scotland. Or the uncovering of a video of Gordon DL singing karaoke him trying to make fun of everyone over the years for things that they've done, and then this video resurfaced.
Yeah.
Which was quite something.
Mr. Showbiz.
Yeah, he was enjoying it. So, the winner, we put the poll out on X, we put it out on Instagram as well, and the winner for Moment of the Season, the final Super Scoreboard Award is, with 31% of the vote, Andy Halliday's non-celebration.
And isn't it the height of irony that Motherwell will now play Rangers in the first game of the new season? So if Andy scores on Russell Martin's managerial debut, will he run to the Rangers dugout, bend down and ask for forgiveness?
I was going to say it's actually quite fitting that one of the producers got in touch with Andy to see if he would send us an acceptance speech, and he's decided not to. So he's not even celebrating this either.
No.
At least he's, I think he's a busy man. We'll let him off. He's got a lot going on in his life at the moment, so I won't hold it.
He's got sleep deprivation to deal with.
Yeah, that's true.
I've been there, first time father, you know. He's not getting much sleep, so he can't be bothered with the likes of you and me.
Yeah, that is true. I won't hold it against him. He is a busy, busy man. But there we go. That rounds off the Super Scoreboard Award, some of the best moments of last season, and there will be plenty more to come across the new season as well. 01419511025 on the phones. Let's hear a bit from some other Scottish football figures, shall we? Let's hear from Lee Miller, who is speaking today, of course, the dad of Motherwell midfielder Lennon. He says there have been no offers yet for the midfielder, and confirms that he will start pre-season training with his team next week.
He's back to Motherwell on Monday. Nothing's happened as yet. Yes, there's loads of speculation and loads of talk on Twitter, etc. But and it's a different club every day. It's quite funny watching it and how it's progressing. Essentially, nobody's made any bids for him. Yes, he would like to further his career down the line, but we'll just need to wait and see what happens. As a footballer, as a parent of a footballer, there's always massive decisions to make, and Lennon's next move is so important. A lot of players will get sucked into going to just a massive club and going, right, I've arrived, I've went. But there needs to be a lot of thought process, and there has been a lot of thought process of his next move, because it's a development move again. The next one, for me, is important because he has to play, he has to develop, he has to then kick on again. And I think everybody's seen that with Scotland. Once he's round about better players, top class elite players, he will then kick on again, in my opinion.
Yeah, there will be a lot to consider for Lennon Miller, Hugh, and
yeah,
when you look at it as well, Lee Miller saying that there hasn't been any concrete bids yet, so as of now there is nothing to consider really.
Of course, but the word yet is important. You know, yet doesn't mean forever. I think Lennon Miller is very fortunate in that his father is a former pro, sensible man, and the family are terrific people. And you know, he's at a very awkward age. You know, I remember my own children when they were 18, and you wouldn't have trusted them with massive decisions. You need help, you need that kind of family support that Lennon has. I think once they get back into training, and once the window gets closer and closer to the end, you might find a bit of belated activity, but the world is at his feet. He doesn't have to concentrate on a Scottish club, a British club. The world is his oyster because he's a good player.
There was some breaking news during the last break as well. It is a Celtic signing. Maybe not the most glamorous signing that Celtic will make this summer, but Celtic have announced Ross Doohan has joined on a 3-year deal. I don't think that was too much of a secret. People saw that coming after he left Aberdeen. A deal that makes sense, Hugh, because Scott Bain has left. It means there is that space. It makes sense for Celtic to use that on a homegrown player. It really helps for European quota. And someone like Ross Doohan, if he's happy to come in and knows he'll play that backup role, then it works out well for Celtic.
His last game of football was for Scotland, you know, against Liechtenstein. So, you know, you're getting a player who's reliable. When he had an extended run in the Aberdeen team, he was very reliable for them. And in football, when it comes to goalkeepers, you never know the minute. You never know when all of a sudden you're called upon. So it's a decent signing in a specialist position.
Having someone in that third choice role, because you would expect he would be the third choice behind Kasper Schmeichel and behind Vuyami Sinisalo at the moment, but the fact that he has proven at Aberdeen that he can play at Scottish Premiership level in domestic cups, that will be a big bonus, knowing that if Celtic do need to fall back on Ross Doohan, that I'm sure Brendan Rodgers will have every confidence in him.
But yeah, I mean, they're taking care of business in ways that they have to. They, obviously, Ross Doohan is one. They brought in young Isaac English from Morton, 17 years old. They've got Callum Osman, 19 years old. But the fans are waiting for confirmation of Benjamin Nygren. They are waiting to see where else Celtic go. They're very happy to have Kieran Tierney back there, but Greg Taylor's future still unknown. He's out of contract with Celtic. He may never return to Celtic as a player, but we don't know. So in the coming days and weeks, there is an awful lot of work to be done by Celtic and Rangers.
And we didn't even get round to the fact that Derek McInnes was speaking about Lauren Shankland's situation today, saying there's still an offer on the table. They've had talks with Lauren Shankland and his agent, but he says that at some point they'll need to draw a line under discussions if they can't come to an agreement. Very quick answer. Do you think Lauren Shankland will be a Hearts player next season?
Yes.
Yes.
I think if someone, and we all know that Rangers have had a long-standing interest in him, but I think if someone was really interested in him, they'd be in now.
Well, thank you very much to Hugh Keevans in the studio for joining me tonight. Thank you for listening in at home, watching on the live stream as well, for your calls and getting involved on social media. I'll be back at 6 o'clock on Monday night, where it will be another big day, because on Monday it is the Rangers EGM. That is what is really going to be officially the start of the new era. There is going to be that £20 million investment should be ratified on Monday as well. So I'm sure there will be many thoughts on that. So make sure to join us then and make sure to stick around, because it is perfect for a sunny Friday night. It is the GBX up next.